On this week's episode of The Break.
That really impressed me was how easy it was. Like, the actual doing of the thing, the actual changing of your life is really surprisingly easy. The deciding to do it is the hard part. I think quitting has too much negative connotation on it. I think you know when something has value for you. And I think you kind of can tell if pushing through will be healthy for you. And I think that we should be able to quit more.
Wouldn't it be nice to just escape? Escape from today's turmoil. Escape from yesterday's stress. Escape from tomorrow's monotony. Many frown upon escape. They see it as avoiding life and shirking responsibility. Laura Benzing, however, embraced escape. She embarked on a 5.5-month hike across the Appalachian Trail from Maine in the north to Georgia in the south. On today's episode, she explains her journey, her reasons for escaping, and her passion for hiking. My name is Hamza Mahmoud, and you're listening to The Break.
Today we have Laura Benzing. She's known for hiking. She actually hiked the Appalachian Trail. So thanks for being here, Laura. We're really excited to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to talk about hiking.
How's it?
All right, Laura. So this is something that is really interesting to me. I've only done my first hike about two months ago. It wasn't long. It was definitely not 5.5 months worth. So I wanted to ask you, how did you get started with hiking?
I got started with hiking via a dire lack of hiking. So I live in North Canton, Ohio, which is kind of a full of cornfields and soybean fields, right. And it's pretty dead flat. So I ended up going on a hiking trip with my family in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And so we climbed up Franconia Ridge and spent the night in a hut up there, and it was just this incredible experience for someone who hadn't really been around mountains. I think I was in maybe sixth grade, and I just remember getting to the top of the mountains and seeing that view for the first time and feeling that wind, the breeze, when you're up at elevation, the sun feels different, and I just kind of got hooked from there. So I spent the next 10 years of my life itching to get out of Ohio and into
the mountains. it wasn't hard for you to just I also hiked once, and it went horribly because I am probably not naturally a hiker. I assume it's a more developed skill for some than others.
Well, that's, I think,
the beauty of hiking. Everyone can walk.
Everyone can walk.
That's a fair point.
Right. So there are people on the Appalachian Trail who did zero training, and they call it couch to 2,189. You just kind of learn as you go. You just start slow and keep building up, Most of us can walk, and even people who are paralyzed from the waist down did some kind of incredibly impressive hikes.
So my first experience was actually this past summer. I basically went with my friends up to Virginia, and we went to a place called Dragon's Tooth. We hiked up to Dragon's Tooth, and I don't know much about it, honestly, but basically I had a few issues. One being that I didn't get enough water with me, which is not great. And none of us really knew that it would be that bad, to be honest. But I felt the brunt of that force for sure. The last maybe 1,000 feet, I literally thought I was going to die, for real. But like you said, getting to the top, it was insane because there's so much, an amazing breeze. You can just see the entire landscape. And for Dragon's Tooth and being in Virginia and all that stuff, you could just see this expansive forest. And there are a few birds flying by. And it was fulfilling to have completed that. For me, the accomplishment of the journey was the reward, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Dragon's Tooth.
Yeah, I figured, honestly, yeah.
So I've been there. I remember being there and someone brought a cat up on the leash.
That's interesting.
Back to the feeling of hiking, it's kind of interesting because you think about going up into nature and doing these hikes and you do it for the view, but that's not sustainable. So the Appalachian Trail, it's 5.5 months. It's called a green tunnel because you're basically just stuck in trees probably 99.9% of the time. Eventually you'll pop out of view, but you definitely can't do it for the view. You do it kind of for the feeling it gives you. Kind of the feeling that I really love is when you can hike for maybe 3 miles straight up a mountain with a 30-pound backpack and just kind of like pound it out, but you feel so like strong and invincible, and you're tired, but it gives you like such a capable feeling. Or just put your kind of your mind into your body and you stop thinking about everything else. It's a form of like active meditation. And I think it's like maybe 25% of the meditation, and then the rest of your body, the rest of your brain kind of just, you kind of get to think about things that you don't think about.
Because you spend so much time kind of by yourself a little bit more, right?
Yeah, that's I think what I miss the most about coming to Duke, is I felt like Duke was like pirating my thoughts. Like Duke like prescribed my thoughts for like 70% of my day. Like I used to have, like I can think whatever I thought wanted, but with studying and with figuring out stresses and new social situations in college, I felt like I never even had the time to think my own thoughts. Arguably, these were like useful thoughts, like learning and studying. So I couldn't complain too much, but I think that was like a really big adjustment for me coming from my gap year after high school.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, how did you, first of all, choose to hike for 5.5 months on the Appalachian Trail? And how did you prepare for it physically, you know, like emotionally?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons I decided to do it. I read a book about it. I was sitting on someone's nightstand and I kind of picked it up and just like read it in one sitting, and I just kind of automatically knew that was something I would want to do. And why not now? Like I didn't have, after graduating high school, I didn't have any student loans. I had plenty of time. I didn't have any real commitments. So I just wanted to take that opportunity. But why I decided to do it emotionally was a little bit of a questioning of my own strength. I'm sure you guys, in college applications, they ask you about your failures and the hardships you've overcome. And I was sitting there like, what hardships have I overcome? Yeah. Like, how have I tested myself? Like, have I really tested myself? Like, who am I capable of these things? So I wanted to put myself in a situation where I was going to test myself. And that was kind of the romanticized idea in all of these books, is that you suffer so much, like your feet are in so much pain, it's day after day, the rain and bugs and suffering. And I kind of wanted to put myself in that situation to see how I would react. And it absolutely wasn't anything like I expected. All of those elements were still there on the Appalachian Trail, like the bugs, the foot pain. Like sometimes I would wake up and my feet would be turned outward from plantar fasciitis and my orthotics. And I like dealt with a lot of difficulties, but I just really enjoyed hiking. So I got to the end of the trail and I still like felt like I hadn't really suffered in the romanticized way that I thought I was going to. Which is absolutely okay. I kind of came to the realization that at 18, I think you can be a little dramatic, at least I was, in the way I was thinking about things, but you can still overcome things and not suffer. You can still, like, go through life and be a strong person without just being miserable, too. And then the other reason I wanted to do it was to just kind of get away, escape small-town Ohio, escape the stresses of life here with everything going on in high school. I had a lot of friends who were struggling at the time, and I kind of wanted to just escape and run to the woods, which is like not a way that I told them or acknowledged to myself until I got out there and realized like this is kind of a breath of fresh air, literally and figuratively. But I definitely kind of had the realization that I value people way more than I thought I did. I kind of went out there to be alone and do my own thing, and found out that I don't really want to be alone, and I like people. And you kind of get to modulate how much human interaction you want on the Appalachian Trail. So you can form tramlies. So I formed 2 tramlies at some points, and hiked with 1 tramlie for like almost 3 months.
So how'd you end up meeting them? You met them on the trail? Or?
Yeah, just they showed up at my shelter one day, and we got to talking, and we ended up at the same shelter the next day, and the next day, and after a week, it kind of became a little official, so.
Okay.
We all go by pseudonyms, so you all have trail names, and so it's kind of a cool dynamic on the Appalachian Trail, where you have no, like, walls or boundaries, like, you're never going to really see these people again, and they don't even know your name. So the trail gives you a name. People will suggest it. You have the option to reject it or accept it, but you don't really give yourself a trail name. And so people will be named like toast or they're all like kind of funny stories, like lumberjack, you know, when you're snoring sounds like a chainsaw, like those kinds of names. I had a Captain America socks that I was really excited about. We're on Memorial Day, so I got the name Marvel.
And that's a good one though. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. One of the suggestions was hot tamale, and I liked that one a little less.
Yeah, that's not as good. So you talked about one of your motivations being that you wanted to kind of get away. So for me, one of the reasons I took a break from Duke was, in a sense, to get away as well. And what happened for me was mostly that everything that Duke kind of, my Duke life kind of exhibited was not great for me, I feel like, and I felt like I just needed a break. And me coming back now, I feel a lot better because of it. So I guess my question to you would be, was there sort of a similar situation where you wanted to take a break from the stresses of life, maybe? Or what exactly was your motivation?
I think it was a little contradictory for me, because I felt like I was at a high point in my life intellectually, but I didn't feel like I was at a high point in my life. At that point, I had just gotten into Duke. I was doing well academically. Like, I had a great family, but that didn't necessarily mean that that's how I felt. In my relationship at the time, he was struggling with some self-harm, and my best friend was in the hospital, and there were, I think, a lot of social pressures that I felt responsible for supporting them to a certain extent. And I think I didn't really know how to deal with that, especially when, in my mind, it wasn't fair for me to be hurt, because none of this was happening to me, it was happening to other people. So I think that I would definitely recommend running away to the woods. I think it kind of gave me, I mean, it took a long time, but when I got to Duke, I felt so secure. I had, like, created this, like, view of who I was, which I think is still true to today. I think I've definitely had to adjust that view of who I was, but I have, like, created these, like, values of like what I want to do, like who I want to be, and like just kind of suffering every day on a physical level, it makes you not concerned about it. So when your feet hurt every day, when you're tired every day, when you're like wet and cold, you kind of get this like invincibility that was a little, I think it was great for freshman year when there's so much going on, to be like, you know, nothing really fazed me at that point. But I think I took it a little bit too far, to the point where I was not bothered by things that should have bothered me. I was like, when people did things that were a little disrespectful, it didn't bother me at all, to the point where I just like wouldn't address it, wouldn't recognize it, wouldn't fix it.
Okay, so you're saying that there's kind of a point where you can have too thick of a skin. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I think everyone has to find their own balance, right? And I think it's just part of growing up. But I think what I learned was that if I do have that thick skin, but if that skin ever gets broken, I'm like screwed, you know? So what I've started to develop is more of like kind of separating that like brick wall that I have and just like diffusing it a little bit, you know, and finding a healthy way to deal with that, instead of, let's say that I'm trying to build this fortress and I'm trying to distribute the way I'm going to defend my fortress, right? What I used to do was put all my soldiers up at the walls, and now I'm trying to just distribute them a little bit more. It's sort of like if my walls kind of break down, I still have more backup and stuff, you know. My break was basically learning how to do that, so it's interesting that you say that.
I think I view it more, instead of a fortress, you're just on a trail, and you can just move. I think that was one of the things that really resonated with me on the Appalachian Trail, is there's so many people who just like drop their lives, sold their houses, quit their jobs, and came to the Appalachian Trail. And it's kind of amazing how possible that is. Like, right now, any of us could do that. I mean, obviously there's confounding situations where you have, like, family commitments and financial commitments, but honestly, I hike the Appalachian Trail. You don't pay for housing, you pay for, like, ramen noodles. It's the cheapest vacation you can do. It costs you a few thousand dollars for a six-month vacation. So it's pretty financially doable. That really impressed me was how easy it was. Like, the actual doing of the thing, the actual changing of your life is really surprisingly easy. The deciding to do it is the hard part. So I kind of took that with me and thought a lot about how, like, if I am not happy in my situation, if I'm not happy in my job, if I'm not happy in my relationship, like, if I'm not happy with this friendship, like, the actual changing of that is pretty easy. So I need to, like, match the the emotional changing of that. So you can just kind of pick up your life and move down the trail.
Right.
Away from those situations. I mean, sometimes their situations aren't changeable. There's like tons of examples of people who are stuck in different situations or familial situations. But I think that's helped me be able to quit jobs at Duke that weren't healthy for me. That's helped me to be able to drop classes or like leave friendships.
So I guess my main question is that because you have already changed your life in such a huge way that it became easier to change aspects of your life in smaller ways?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've kind of lost a little bit of that fiery identity that I formed on the Appalachian Trail, and it's definitely modified a bit, and I've kind of toned that down, which I don't know that's necessarily a good thing. Maybe I should go on some more long hikes. But I think like that's the one of my stronger beliefs is that changing your life is easier than you think it is.
But also you could see that as running away from things, right?
I think yes. And I also think that running away from things is sometimes the healthy option. I think quitting has too much negative connotation on it. I think that you know when something has value for you. And I think you kind of can tell if pushing through will be healthy for you. And I think that we should be able to quit more. We should be able to leave jobs. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with that a lot. I stayed in a job that I was not happy with, that like, honestly, I stood outside of the workplace and like for like 10 minutes and just like dreaded going inside. It wasn't a supportive work culture. Things I should have done differently in this job were communicate more. But I think whenever I asked questions, I felt like, the answer was like, you don't know that already. I told you that like 5 months ago, kind of attitude. But at the point when I was deciding, I was like, okay, I had decided I believed this before, and that kind of helped me like actually make the decision. But it still took a long time for me to recognize that it was a problem. And I'm in a new job now, a new laboratory now, and it's a wonderful lab culture, and I'm so much happier.
So how was the change from hiking and then going into your freshman year at Duke? How was that change?
I was ready. After a few months in the woods, I was like, I need to do some reading, some studying. I was excited. Before I decided to take gap year, I was like, oh my gosh, I just did 12 years of education. Now I'm going to do 4 more with how many afterwards? I'm like, I can't do this. So it was nice for me to like take a year off and then be ready. Because I like did the Appalachian Trail, I traveled, I worked, I lived in Colorado, I did a lot of the things that were feeding my soul in certain ways, but I kind of missed studying. I missed Duke, the idea of Duke at least. But the biggest thing that was hard for me was the loss of free time. I mean, because I would wake up every morning and just do whatever I wanted. But the other thing that was very difficult for me was the cost of Duke. So if you pay full price at Duke, you can live for 2.5 weeks for 1 day of Duke.
Wow.
On the Appalachian Trail. That's crazy. So I'm like, if I just, you know, didn't pay for today, for 2 days, I could spend like a month and a half on the trail. Just the disparity in cost was just a little painful on a daily basis.
Do you think it's worth it?
Duke? I'm going to say it depends
on
who you are. I mean, obviously Duke is on a sliding scale. Paying full price, if it's really going to hurt your family, then absolutely not. Like, Duke doesn't give you that much more than another college. The community it gives you is incredible. Like, the resources it gives you is incredible. But you can still get good resources and a wonderful community pretty much anywhere. It's just a little harder. Is it worth $80,000? No. Especially if you're going to be in debt that much. Wherever you are on that sliding scale, as long as it doesn't hurt your family too much or you too much and doesn't put you that much in debt, it's worth it. Do I believe in private institutions? It's a little sketchy.
Yeah,
I think a lot of what we pay for when it comes to Duke is the brand, right? But it is a powerful brand, you know?
That is very true. I hate that I'm using that, and I absolutely use that for like, the rest of my life. Yeah. I'm going to be using that Duke name. But do I think that's fair? Do I think that I'm a better student than someone who went to OSU? Do I think that my work was better than someone who went to OSU? I don't necessarily agree with that. So I think it's a hard balance.
I agree that the experience of Duke is definitely worth it for different people, and it's not worth it for others. And I also agree that like the main appeal for Duke is the brand, is the alumni system that will almost guarantee you a job after graduation. Just the name of Duke. And is it really worth spending on a college that...
But do you think it's worth it?
Do I think it's worth it?
Well, for me,
yeah. I'm coming from a background where I am low income, and Duke is thankfully free of cost for me, which I'm very grateful for. So for me, Duke is very much worth it. But that's just because I'm currently not paying for it, and I'm very grateful to have that opportunity. But I can definitely see the other argument where if they're even paying anything, it can still be very damaging to their own debt, to their family's debt, to their expenses. So for me personally, yeah, I believe it is worth it, but I see how it's different for other people.
I guess the thought experiment goes, how much debt would you go into?
Oh, yeah. Much debt is worth it? I would say...
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
I would say it depends on the job that you get after, right? Because...
Yeah.
If you're willing to accumulate X amount of debt, you should strive to be able to pay that off, right?
I mean, it's tough, right? So like Duke has turned into a pre-professional school because mm-hmm. it's so expensive, and the only way you really get your worth is if you get a high-paying job after it. And so what Duke decided to do was create some scholarship programs to lessen the cost for some people, and that way encourage them to go into the arts, for example, which is not as high paying, but you don't need to pay off your debt, so it's fine. And what ended up happening was a lot of those students ended up being pre-professional anyways, just because it's more money and it's mm-hmm. Duke, it's the Duke brand. Like, why would you not take that, you know? And so I'm not really sure how you solve a problem like that per se. What I tend to see happen is the higher the tuition, the more pre-professional it'll get. You know, because you'll see a lot of liberal arts colleges, like actual liberal arts colleges. Duke claims to be liberal arts, but I'm not really sure. You'll see a lot of them have lower tuitions because they encourage that kind of culture that doesn't necessarily value money or salary as much, you know.
Going back to traveling and hiking and stuff, you was anything else that you've done outside of the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, So over this gap year, I did a lot of road tripping. So once the trail was done, I was like, I was pretty done with backpacking. I was physically and mentally exhausted. It's interesting to be mentally exhausted from doing nothing that requires any mental capabilities. But I was so just done. I like kind of sat and did not move for a month. But during that time, I built a gingerbread house, took a month and just played with sugar and built this giant 9.5 diorama of Lord of the Rings. But eventually I got my mojo back, and I spent 2 months road tripping out to Colorado, where I worked in the Rocky Mountain National Park for a couple of months there. And then really just spent like the winter snowshoeing in the sun, really appreciating that. Hiking will always be like the core of my identity towards the outdoors. Like, I think there are a few things that I say that I'm good at, but I think I'm good at hiking. I think not necessarily the walking part, my coordination is not great, but I think the ability to just keep going and be happy with it is something that I've spent enough time to say that that's something that I'm pretty good at. I think a part of it is just like getting in touch with your body and out of your brain, or just kind of focusing on like the problem at hand and focusing on something that's like not so mental.
Cool. Okay. So I want to hear, some of the fun stories that you have from hiking. Like any of the fun stories I'm sure must have happened in the 5.5 months.
Definitely.
You talk about your trail families and stuff, but I want to hear more.
There was one morning, I woke up on a beach, on a lake in northern Maine, and it was like the sun rose at 4 a.m. It was August, and we're kind of north enough that it goes down at 9:30 and rises at 4. And so I like woke up, saw the sunrise, and was half asleep, half awake. I didn't have any contacts in, so I really couldn't see anything. When I heard this like massive crashing in the woods behind me. And I see this giant brown, like, blob, like, come out of the woods. And I'm like, oh. And then it comes into full focus. And when it's in full focus, you have to be really freaking close. So this huge bull moose that was probably like, oh gosh, I don't even know, like,
right,
twice as tall as me at least, like, crashes through and walks up right next to my tent and then takes a left right along my tent. And I just didn't think. I laid there paralyzed, like, didn't even have the thought to get a camera.
Yeah,
just sure. Like shocked. Unfortunately, I remember
that mistake. So, did you start hiking alone, and then did you just like find all these people and these tramp families? Like, how did you like start a tramp family?
Yeah, my mom was a little concerned. I think that's what I hear from from other 18-year-olds at the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't believe your parents let you do that. So yeah, she was definitely concerned. She definitely got a little bit of flack from the community. Like, I can't believe you're letting her do that. So she came with me for the first, I think, 2-3 weeks, which was wonderful and painful at the same time, because I was like so ready. I mean, I had left like hours after graduation. Mm-hmm. I was like ready to do my own thing, be independent,
right,
charge forward, get to Springer Mountain in Georgia before it was December. So we had a kind of a cool bonding opportunity, but I think I was kind of itching to do my own thing and also wanted to go a lot faster. So we had like a mostly good hike together. Just be careful, be informed when you're going out for longer hikes.
So you're something I've kind of wondered about too is, I know that a lot of people have talked about nature being a great way to be mentally healthy, just interacting with nature. I want to get your take on that.
I have a kind of conflict, a little bit of a conflict with like how nature is viewed, because I don't really see it as some otherworldly thing that's like all powerful or that like will rejuvenate you. Like, I don't think going out the woods necessarily gives you that. But I think paying attention to the woods, even if, you know, like, even if you're at home and sitting out in your lawn, like, I think like paying attention to the grass, paying attention to the trees, the birds, or like going for a run even through the city gives you kind of the same like power as nature. In the same way that I think that there's like a really weird distinction between what's like nature and what's human. Like humans are part of nature. Like, we are not distinct from it. So I kind of, I love, obviously I love backpacking. I love being out in nature, but I think the power isn't just the being of like, you know, the rocks, big trees isn't gonna really do it. It's gotta be a little bit more of a connection to it, and it doesn't have to be Yosemite. It can be, you know,
right,
the creek behind your house or something like that.
So yeah, I would agree, because I went on my first ever hike in March with like me and four other friends, and because it was my first, I didn't really have any expectations, and I'm not really a nature guy. My family definitely isn't. So when I actually went out and did it, it was only like a mile or like 2 miles. It wasn't that bad, but I definitely enjoyed all the small things about it, where, you know, you could see like the different rocks and different trees. The peak was of course the best part, but I also just enjoyed the trail itself and, you know, having a good time with my friends and just looking at the small, you know, the small things about the world. And I think I do the same thing when I'm walking on campus at Duke. I just, I like taking pictures. It's like a hobby of mine, and I always love finding the small, you know, flowers, on the quad or the skyline when it's sunset. I think that's what nature really is. It's just finding the small things around you.
Yeah, I think just like being mindful and paying attention is probably 90% of the peace that like nature gives you.
I think it is time to switch into our segment, the five favorites. So basically we're just gonna ask you these five questions. They're gonna get probably progressively harder. So okay. To start off, What is your favorite song?
My favorite song comes attached to a memory. It's Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors. It was part of my gap year. I was with the girl just right. We were out in my RAV4, like on these back roads of Sedona that we had kind of driven around the barriers, and the sun was coming down and just lighting up all of the red rocks in contrast to the snow. And we were like out on the roof, like driving, like sitting up on the roof, driving, like blasting the music. And it just got such great kind of adventure vibes to it. Every time I hear that song, I'm just like immediately transported back there. Yeah.
What is your favorite movie?
Even just thinking about Parasite right now, just to...
I haven't seen it yet. It was such a good movie. I need to. I need to. I don't know why I haven't.
I was curled up in fetal position or, like, standing the whole time. It was just... I was so emotionally invested and stressed in such a good way. It was
wonderful. That's a recent movie, too. So, okay. That's something you should watch, then.
All right. Now, this one I'm very interested to hear. Where is your favorite place to go at home?
So as much as I complain about Ohio, Ohio's actually pretty lovely in the spring. There's a mountain bike trail, probably 15 minutes from my house, that is just, like, wonderful. Like, oh, the dirt is, like, so hard-packed and just, like, soft. And it's, like, great for like, hiking barefoot or mountain biking, and you kind of go across the swamp. It's, like, our closest trail, and it's just a great, like, 3-mile loop. Just get your mind off things and exercise and run, and it's our only mountain trail, so I'm a little desperate.
That's awesome.
Okay, question 4. What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
I went on a spontaneous trip to Arkansas.
Why?
For a week. I was backpacking with a friend of mine, and we didn't really want to go home, so we pulled out the map and we looked at it, and there wasn't much around us, but neither of us had been to Arkansas, and we wondered what's in Arkansas. So we're like, let's go find out. And so we turned the car around and drove to Arkansas, and turns out there's nothing in Arkansas.
That's pretty random, though.
We had a great time, though. We snuck into caves and tried desperately to find things to do.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then for the final question, what is the best and or worst thing that has happened in your Duke experience?
That's a tough question for sure. As cheesy as it is, I think the communities that I've been able to build at Duke have been by far the best part of my Duke experience. I mean, kind of like the reason you guys started this podcast, right, is to look at other people's passions. But I've been around so many incredibly passionate people. Yeah. It's like, it's a bit infectious and exciting to be around these people. And the level of energy they put into not only what they care about, but like you too. Like they put so much like energy and love into like friendships and community. And it's like the first time I've been a part of a community that's like been focused on community too. So some of my friend groups, like they would put so much effort into the friend group, which is not something that I like really experienced here in Ohio. It's been more kind of like, oh, we're like a group of people who do things together, and I love how intentional and self-aware like so many people at Duke are, which has really kind of taught me to be a little more self-aware for myself. And I've also found a relationship here, so I think there's been a lot of good people here, which is by far like the best part.
All right, thank you for another amazing episode. Thank you for agreeing to hop on the podcast. For the guests, for the viewers listening, where can they find you?
They can find me at benzinglaura@gmail.com.
cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for it. This was really fun. I miss talking about the Appalachian Trail. I've got this little map up next to my bed, and I'm starting to forget what the hostels were and what the towns are. So it's a good little bit of a memory challenge. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for hopping on. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of The Break. And like she just said, happy trails.
I'd just like to take a moment to thank everyone who's made this possible. First off, our crew. Our crew is amazing, and behind the scenes, you guys work so hard to produce great content with us, and for that, I thank you endlessly. I'd also like to thank 12AM for allowing us to use the music that you're listening to right now. His Spotify link is on our show notes, so go ahead and check him out. He's amazing. Finally, I'd like to thank you guys listening to this right now, our amazing viewers, who we draw such inspiration from for these podcasts. I'm Anish Kotu, and this is The Break.